Case is case number 24708. This is a motion of the commission to review the temporarily abandoned status of the C12 Energy ND LLC number 8 Dickinson Heath Sand Unit, section 22-140-96, Dickinson Field, Stark County. All interested parties, please come forward.
My name is Andrew John Morrison, PO Box 2798, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing in this matter on behalf of C12 Energy. We have one witness we intend to present today. We also have one additional witness who's available if questions come up, but I believe Gavin Ramsey will be our only witness, and he's present.
Mr. Ramsey, I'll have you raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth in this case?
I do.
Thank you.
Sir, would you state your name for the record, give us your business address, and tell us by whom you're employed in what capacity?
Sure. My name is Gavin Ramsey. I'm employed by C12 Energy. Our business address is 1900 WASI. That's Suite 200, Denver, Colorado, 80202.
And have you previously testified for the commission as an expert witness?
I have not.
Can you briefly review your educational and professional background?
Sure. I graduated with a degree in mechanical engineering from Rice University. I've also been professionally licensed as a petroleum engineer in the state of Alaska. For 7.5 years, I worked for BP in Alaska in various capacities, mainly as a production engineer. For the last year, I've worked for C12 also in a production engineer capacity.
And are you familiar with C12's operations in the Dickinson Heath unit in North Dakota?
Yes.
And you prepared some exhibits you're going to sponsor today?
Yes.
I'll offer the further testimony. This witness, I'm an expert.
Motion granted.
Gavin, let's start with the packet, and let's go to Exhibit 1 and just kind of summarize the information you've included on Exhibit 1.
Sure. Well, we just thought we'd give a brief background of C12 since we're a small company and a fairly new company. Our company originally started off in 2008. As a carbon capture startup, and we transitioned to a CO2 flooding company in 2013. The Dickinson Heath Sand Unit, and I'll refer to that as just DHSU kind of going forward, was the first oil field our company has purchased. It was part of a plan to purchase kind of more fields in that Dickinson area that we view as, having good CO2 potential. And so that's kind of just a brief history. The Dickinson Heath Sand Unit, it's an older field. It's a sandstone. It was discovered in the 50s, approximately 61 million barrels originally in place. It's kind of mislabeled as a Heath Sand Unit, but it's actually completed in the Tyler Sandstone. Originally, or at some point, it had 70 plus wells completed in it. Right now, it's got 23 active injectors and producers, and 6 active injectors. It was unitized quite a long time ago, 1973, and we bought the field and took it over from Klein Production Company in July of 2013.
Let's continue on with Exhibit 2 and give a little more information about the unit.
Sure. You can kind of see the unit boundary that's been unitized. And I guess a few things to note. You can kind of see the dash lines and the green dots. Those are the kind of our active producers. And then you can also see our injectors as well. And then just a few things to note. Well, I guess first, the well in question, DHSU 8, is in section 22, kind of on the right hand of the page. It's a little yellow dot. It's unfortunately very hard to see. It's right just east of DHSU 6, which is a little bit easier to see on that map.
The yellow dot, southeast of 22?
Correct.
Okay.
I guess a few other things I'd like to point out is DHSU 13 was a producer that we plugged and abandoned last summer. And there was one other well, DHSU 9, which was a T8 well that we brought back in December of 2014. So just, we are kind of actively managing the wells, I guess would be the only point I'd want to make.
Okay. Let's go on with Exhibit 3 and
Sure. This is C12 Energy's kind of evaluation of the fields nearby DHSU, and includes DHSU, but it's just the size of the CO2 EOR opportunity from our evaluations. Again, DHSU on its own is, in our view, is not something that can be developed with CO2 without having other fields, acquiring other fields. So it's, you know, as a standalone, it doesn't make sense. But, you know, our plan has always been to look at trying to acquire interests or operatorship of other fields in the nearby area to make a, you know, an economic development.
And then let's go to Exhibit 4, and I don't think you need to go through any of the details in Exhibit 4, but can you just tell us generally what Exhibit 4 is?
I just included this. It's a 1991 internal review by Conoco, who was the operator at the time of the EOR opportunity, and simply just to show that the EOR potential of this field has been known for quite some time. It's not something that has recently come up. I think it's been well known for quite some time.
Yeah. And C-12 has taken another look at the same kinds of issues?
Correct.
And that's Exhibit 5?
If you can go to Exhibit 5, this is our own view of the potential of the Dickinson Heath Sand Unit. Kind of describes our, you know, evaluation, essentially the residual oil saturation to water flooding being 37% and then to miscible flooding as 8%. So it kind of just shows you the difference in size of the prize for this field. I don't know if you want me to go through the details.
Then let's go on with Exhibit 6. What have you shown as Exhibit 6?
Hold on. So Exhibit 6 is just simply a map. We do have a contract in place that, you know, an option anyways, with the Dakota Gasification Company. And kind of in the top right corner, you can see the black line. That's their pipeline. And essentially, the fields that we view as high CO2 potential, and including the Dickinson Heath Sand Unit, being roughly a 35 miles from that pipeline, and so that's roughly what you would have to put in place, and that's the reason why you would need multiple fields to make this project economic.
Okay, let's go on to Exhibit 7.
This is just the latest integrity test. We've also been doing the 5-year integrity tests, the last one being last year, which is passed. So it's passed every integrity test it's had.
Then Exhibit 8.
Yeah, I wanted to include this mainly just to kind of demonstrate the petrophysical properties of DHSU-8 being a viable well. When it was drilled and still a viable well today. It's completed in the B1 sand, which is one of the main sand packages in the Tyler. And it has good porosity and permeability, and it has been utilized as both a producer and an injector in the past.
Exhibit 9.
Let's see here. Just to show the reservoir properties in the area, again, it's same sort of drive, just to show that, basically it's part of the main sand package, and it does have, you know, what we consider to be favorable permeability and porosity and pressure.
And then one more, Exhibit 10.
Yeah, same thing. It's just a log of showing where the well was completed. Currently has a cast iron cement retainer above the production zone, but that is where it was originally completed.
And going on with Exhibit 11.
It's hard to read this, but essentially it's a map of the sand package that is basically the productive sand. Again, DHSU-8 is very difficult to see, but if you can find Section 22, it's directly north of the dashed line on the east side of the page. If you kind of work your way north of that dashed line, that's where DHSU-8 currently resides. So we do view it as being in a favorable area for development of EOR opportunities.
It's basically just a VH map, is that correct?
Yeah.
And let's go on with Exhibit 12 and tell us what you're showing us Exhibit 12.
This was C-12 Energy's proposal for an EOR development plan. It's basically an inverted five spot. You can see DHSU-8, our plan has been to convert that well into a producer. So, again, it's on kind of that northeast section of the unit. But that was, you know, that's been the plan for this well.
And you'd have, under this plan, you'd have two injectors within half mile or so?
Correct. Most of these wells are kind of currently on the 160-acre spacing. So it'd be something like that, yeah.
Okay. And then Exhibit 13.
It may not demonstrate it as well as it is in real life, but it's a town growth map of Dickinson. DHSU-8 is right on the edge of the city, and one of our biggest concerns is that if we do have to plug this well, that we may never get it back. It's right on the edge of city development, so should we have to plug it, the location may not exist again. And although we do have kind of a blanket easement to, you know, drill or, you know, have oil and gas operations kind of anywhere within the unit boundary, practically speaking, we can't once it's been developed and several of our, you know, large sections of the unit have been developed for residential and commercial use.
So, in your opinion, CO2 has potential for injectant in this unit and would increase the recovery of oil and gas from the unit?
Definitely.
And in the event a CO2 flood could be started, this well would have value as a producer?
Yes.
And it's also possible as an injector, is that correct?
Correct. It would have either or.
And if you were required to plug and abandon the well, you would have to re-drill the well to get the same functionality?
Yes.
And that would be an unnecessary well, in your opinion?
Yes.
Would also constitute economic waste?
Yes.
And you've run the mechanical integrity test, in your opinion, is there mechanical integrity in the well bore and there is no damage occurring to fresh water sources or the surface or any other interests in the area?
Correct.
I don't have any further questions. We offer the exhibits and try to answer any questions the staff has.
The exhibits will be received. Are there questions from the staff?
Have you evaluated where you would inject the gas in the well? I mean, in the reservoir, would it be up dip, down dip? Doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter as much in this case. It's there's almost no relief in these Tyler sand units. They're basically homoclinal. So there really is no up or down dip. So, no, there wouldn't be a preference on to where we would start injecting other than the meatier parts of the Tyler.
This well, the cume oil, you said it was a producer. The cume oil is less than 4,000 barrels of oil.
It started out as a producer, and it was very low. I think it was doing 10 barrels a day when it was originally brought on, and they converted it to injector. And I think when it was injector, it was doing kind of the roughly the 1 to 200 barrels of produced water a day, I think was roughly the number.
Did you analyze injections in the well to see if there was an offsetting increase in production on producing wells?
I have not done that.
You believe the location of it within the accumulation would be valuable to CO2 injection, though?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that will conclude our hearing then for case 24708.